It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
An overactive bladder can be so embarrassing, and it's something that women don't really want to talk about. They don't necessarily even want to discuss it with their doctors. But if you're rushing to use the bathroom 8 or more times a day, and it's keeping you up at night, you're not getting a good night's sleep, it's really time to do something about it. And my guest is Dr. Elizabeth Mueller. She's associate professor and fellowship director of female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mueller. So overactive bladder, you know, it isn't something people like to talk about very often, but what is it? What causes it? And then we'll talk about treatments.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great introduction. You're right. It really is distressing to women. Well, overactive bladder is, the bladder itself is a muscle. And most muscles in the body, including your arm muscles and, you know, even your heart muscle, they almost want to contract on their own. But the brain is always regulating them and kind of sending a signal. And the signal that the brain unconsciously is sending to the bladder is to kind of be quiet, stay calm. When someone has overactive bladder, and that can happen because of nerve injury or just nerve damage as we get older, that nerve message, the no message, doesn't get down there very easily. And some things, wild things can kind of contract, kind of turn the no message off. So you're at home, and you hear water running, and all of a sudden, unconsciously, the no message goes off, and you leak out urine. Or you're on your way to the bathroom, and suddenly you have that toilet in your mind, bam, you leak urine. And you go to open the door to your house, and you put the key in the door, and the same thing can happen. So almost unconsciously, that no message is going off, and the bladder contracts. There could be other reasons, but that's kind of my most straightforward explanation.
Okay, so, you know, it certainly is, as we said, embarrassing, and I know a lot of women have urge incontinence, maybe even after just having a baby, and so they tell us these different things, and you see those commercials of women on the golf course, you know, well, now they're on certain medications. So tell us about the treatment, and, you know, why don't you start with something simple like a Kegel exercise and
sure.
Kind of work your way up to the more complicated treatments.
Okay. Well, one thing I have to kind of explain is what I was describing before is called urgency incontinence. And I know we talked about overactive bladder, but I'm going to kind of just focus on urgency incontinence because those other symptoms, nocturia, or feeling like you have to go to the bathroom, are going too frequently. If you don't have problems with leakage, then there's kind of a different way we look at it. But urgency incontinence is when you can't get the no message to the bladder. Stress incontinence is what happens right after you deliver a child. As the baby's head comes through the vagina, there's nerve damage, and that sphincter at the bottom of the bladder isn't working well. That's a different problem. That's a muscle problem. And the reason why most people don't have problems with it right away is we can compensate with our other muscles. But as we get older, past the age of 40, women lose muscle mass, and they can't compensate well. And so for many of those women, why we try to teach Kegel is we can't bring back the sphincter muscle. Once it's had like that little stroke, it doesn't come back, but you might be able to get the other muscles around it to work well. So Kegels can work well for women who have sphincter damage, which is stress incontinence. When women have urge incontinence, is when the bladder squeezes down when it shouldn't. Although Kegel exercises might help a woman be able to hold back urine who otherwise would leak, she still is going to get that really strong urge that's almost going to make her bend over at the store in order to get that urine to hold back. And we find that exercises would be the first-line treatment. Another one can be lifestyle changes, where you just try not to drink as much fluid or drink it in smaller amounts throughout the day. Changing from decaffeinated or caffeinated to decaffeinated coffee in a recent study hasn't really been shown to work. And many times we'll give medications that kind of keep the bladder relaxed so that when it tries to squeeze down, it's not able to as much. But one of the problems with medications is they often have side effects, and those can include dry mouth, constipation. And so we find, for reasons I don't understand all the way, that women will just stop taking the medication because they don't want to take one daily, or they can't tolerate the side effects, or they're not getting a good response. So, you know, some studies have shown up to 50 to 70% of women may stop taking the medication, although it's not well understood, again, why.
Well, if the adherence to the medication is, you know, part of the problem, then what would be something you would do if people just aren't going to take their medications, like blood pressure, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh, I know. It's so tricky, isn't it? Well, I think part of it is, I mean, really when I look back on medicine, you know, trying to get people to take medications for hypertension was really hard, right? I mean, they had side effects and hypertension was silent. And so we did a really good job, like you know, people in your field, media and education, about teaching people about stroke and that the number one risk factor for stroke is hypertension. And so I don't know what we do with people. I think sometimes they feel like the medications don't work, and because they don't work, they're just going to have to live with this. And that's one of the things that, you know, having shows like yours helps people understand that even though leakage is common, that doesn't mean it's normal. Just and like high blood pressure is common, that doesn't mean it's normal. We treat it. These leakage problems we can try to treat. So if a woman doesn't like taking the medication or can't tolerate it, it used to be that I had to go for this urgency incontinence. I had to go to an invasive procedure of like a bladder pacemaker, you know, install that under the skin. It's pretty expensive. And now I feel like, you know, we feel like there's been a more novel treatment of starting to use botulinum toxin in the bladder. And that can really calm the bladder down when we inject that.
So wait a minute, Dr. Mueller, because we don't have a lot of time left, but you said, you know, botulinum, you have to explain that you're talking about Botox.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I always do that.
No, that's okay. That's okay for the listeners that didn't know what you're saying, but you're really talking about Botox, using that in the bladder.
Yeah,
you know, it's finding so many places now.
Yeah, it really is. And it can. What we can do then is calm that bladder muscle so that now when that no message isn't getting down there, it doesn't squeeze. And we really have found that it's made a difference in the number of times women have had to go to the bathroom. We also found that they had 3 times fewer accidents when they were on the Botox, and that it also lessened that strong need, so they didn't get that real strong urge that almost made them feel like they had to double over to get to the bathroom. Now, you know, like with any medication, Botox has side effects, and so of course there's, you know, you would have to talk with your doctor, and they would decide if you were the right person for this treatment. But what we wanted to do is try to get the word out more that it's an option. Women who are not satisfied with medication and have that strong urge to urinate, often associated with leakage, that they can go back to their doctor and see a specialist, a urologist or a urogynecologist, somebody who knows about this treatment, and talk to their specialist about it.
So women suffering from this urge incontinence or overactive bladder have some other treatment options besides the medication, which has a problem with adherence, and doing their Kegel may or may not help, but this is not really that situation. They've tried diapers, they've tried pads, extra pads, you know, and it's quite embarrassing. In the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Mueller, wrap it up for us. Botox and overactive bladder, urge incontinence, kind of put it all together for us.
Okay, well, I just think it's amazing to be able to have a treatment or a procedure that I can do in my office and inject a woman. It takes me about 5 minutes, the whole rigmarole that takes about an hour. I can inject that woman in my office, and within 2 weeks, she can have the experience of the medication, and many, many women significantly reduce their leakage episodes. Some get dry. They all say that the majority of them say they have an improvement in their quality of life, and that can last up to 6 months.
That is amazing. An improvement in quality of life is truly one of the most important things, especially if you're a woman suffering from an overactive bladder. This is Melanie Cole, and you're listening to Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD, and stay well.